Are you lost in wrestling? Can't find a good match as clearly? Well, stop looking and start listening. Everything is about to become crystal clear because you have now entered Wrestling Clarity with your host, Andre C.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a special edition of Wrestling Clarity with me, your host, Andre C. This is a special edition because we're going to be talking about finishers in pro wrestling. And by we, I mean my special guest today, the wrestling mind, Brian Hamilton. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing great today.
Scott, I'm glad to have you here on the show. Let's just talk about finishers in general first. Like, before we get... We've done a top 10 list each of our... The most effective or favorite finishers when we think of pro wrestling. So, Brian, what makes a good finisher to you?
A good finisher is a move that, to me, is something that puts a guy away or is something that looks pretty cool.
I like I'm a big fan of the big flashy finishes. Yeah. But there's also the finishers that I really think are the most effective, are the ones that can come out of nowhere. Like, they're just... An RKO, a super kick, those kind of just out of nowhere moves, I think, are some of the most effective moves in wrestling today. Do you agree, or do you think more of the setup moves are the better ones?
I agree with you on that. That is a good acronym.
All right, so that's what we're feeling. So we've each done a couple top 10 lists here. So we're going to go through each reading off our 10, 9, and we're going to count down to number 1, what we each think is the number 1 most effective finishers to us. So we're going to start it out with Brian's number 10. Brian, what did you put up for number 10?
Well, my number 10 is the Cobra Clutch / Million Dollar Dream, because they're pretty much the same hold by... which was used by Sergeant Slaughter and Million Dollar Man DiBiase. That move is so...
And Stone Cold at one point.
And Stone Cold Steve Austin at one point. That move is so cool because once you get it on, there's basically no escape and you're trapped in there until you go nighty-night.
Yeah, it's effectively the rear naked choke in the early days, right? It's like Samoa Joe's rear naked choke, but back... It was a more of a standing version, right?
Yes.
All right, so... I think, to me, that the submission finishers are pretty good, but like, and that is kind of a one that can be kind of put on from nowhere, really, if you think about the Cobra Clutch or the Millionaire Dream. It's like, you're behind the guy, you slap him into the submission, right?
Yeah, that you do.
Yeah, okay, so we're going to go to my number 10. I went more in TNA with this one. This is the Angel's Wings by Christopher Daniels. I know I always talk about effective out of nowhere moves, but this, to me... It's kind of one of those moves. It's a setup move, yes, but it's effective in the fact that when you hit it, you're hitting every part of the guy, and it's with force because you're picking him up, and then you're driving him down full steam, front bump, smashing his face, his body, everything into the mat. That's why I think the Angel's Wings is a fairly effective finisher. What do you think about the Angel's Wings there, Brian?
Oh, that move is one of the best I've seen. I love when Christopher Daniel does it. And like you said, it is effective when he does it. It usually puts the guy away for the three count, so...
I was watching some YouTube videos recently. And actually, I really liked Michelle McCool's version of it. The Wings of Love or something she called it? But the way she hit it, because she would pick somebody up, stall them up, and then really drive them down on the mat. And I thought she pulled that move with great effectiveness.
Oh, for sure. That was when she did it. It was good to see for a woman to do it. I mean, no, I never seen a woman do it until she did, and it was awesome.
And then you have Awesome Kong, who also uses that and calls the Implant Buster.
Yeah.
I would expect it from a woman like Awesome Kong, but for a girl or a woman, or, sorry, not a girl, woman like Michelle McCool, who is not one of the bigger women in the business, to be able to lift another woman up like that and keep her up for as long as she would before hitting the finish, that's fairly impressive.
Oh, for sure, and especially with when Awesome Kong does it, that's a big girl doing it. she comes down with all her weight on you, it'll be done with her.
Yeah, definitely. So moving on from to number nine, Brian. What's your number nine on your list?
GTS by CM Punk and Kenta. Or Hideo Nomi. I mean, that move is so cool. You hit him with the knee to the face, and pretty much it's lights out.
Yeah, it's another move. It's a pure knockout move. It is a true finisher, because you take a knee to the face, you're pretty much out no matter what. I would agree that is a very good finisher for a top 10. Surprisingly, not in mine. My number nine is a fairly new move to wrestling, and that's Baron Corbin's End of Days. To me, especially with a guy his size, it works. If he was smaller, I wouldn't want him to use this move, but for a big guy, it catches the guy, pulls him back. And because I find it's more because of... It's another move. If the guy's running, if you catch him, bam, you can hit it out of nowhere. It really is... that effective. It's not like you can just go bang hit it. It's like guy has to be running, but a lot of wrestling matches, guys are hitting the ropes. You catch them right and you flip them back, and when you bring them back and you get all that torque to drive the face into the mat, that to me is like another knockout blow, because you're smashing the guy's face in the mat with all of his momentum flying backwards, right? That's where I think it's an effective move.
Oh, for sure. And the way he does it usually when he hits it, it's lights out, but he's been doing it for a while now, and he wins, and basically he wins his match in short distance when he does it, and it's a pretty effective move, and I love it.
All right, Brian, your number eight.
My number eight is a knockout punch by the Big Show. If you're not paying attention, you get hit with that, you're out cold. There's no getting up from that big punch with that big boy.
Simple, effective, it's a knockout blow.
And it can come from anywhere. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter. You could come and be flying off the top rope and boom, you'll be knocked out or wherever. And
climbing in the ring. Bam. Yeah.
That move, all you do is one punch and you're out. So, I mean, it's effective on any way you do it.
Definitely. Like, I can honestly see why you put that on the list, because it's a brutal shot. Like, again, in major sports, it's a knockout. In fighting, it's how a lot of fights are finished. And for the Big Show to be using a knockout blow, to me, it's very believable, especially for a guy of his, like a giant like him, hitting a punch, just punching a guy in the face. That, to me, it's a knockout shot.
Oh, for sure.
All right, so my number eight... new to the WWE, but being used for years upon years in Japan, is the Bloody Sunday DDT, or Brainbuster if you want to go that way. I find Finn Balor's Bloody Sunday is an awesome looking move, and it's a DDT Brainbuster combo. Sets it up DDT style, but lifts him up and drives him down on his head Brainbuster style. And I think you drive a guy down on his head, it's over. Brainbuster, that move alone is it. And I'm going to go into my number seven here. My number seven is the Brainbuster. Simple alone. The Brainbuster alone is a brutal finish. You're dropping a guy on his head. You're pretty much crushing everything there. That's why I think the Brainbuster is my number seven, but the Bloody Sunday version is my number eight. I just like the way it says that. But the Brainbuster overall... number seven for me, because it's just brutal. What do you think, Brian?
Oh, for sure. When he hits it, it's over. But yeah, like you said, it's a brutal move, and it's fantastic to see.
I actually really enjoy. For all the fans of the Edmonton SPN, and you know who I love, MRB. I love his Brainbuster move. He has his Brainbuster. He drops onto the knee. He's done the corner Brainbuster like El Generico, and then he just has the regular Brainbuster. He is. Like, his variations and all of them are so effective.
Oh, for sure. And the way MRB does it, it's devastating and it's awesome to see.
Definitely. So, Brian, you're number seven.
Well, my number seven is it's kind of a three-way combo, because it's a three different versions of it. I got, like, it's the RKO, the Diamond Cutter, and the Stunner, because they're pretty much all basically the same move, but applied differently by each person. But if you look at them, watch them carefully, they're almost the same in a way, just but different, applied differently. And
I think by the wrestling terminology. It's a three-quarter face lock drop.
Yeah.
And but it's all variations of DDP steps and falls with it.
Yeah.
Randy Orton jumps up in the air and drives your face in the mat with it.
And Austin kicks the opponent in the gut and just and stun
and drives it into his shoulder.
Yeah. So like three different versions, but they're all effective. The which and like the way that each one can do it is amazing. And then like Diamond Dallas can do it from pretty much out of anywhere. Same with Randy Orton. I mean, some of the RKOs that I've seen him do, it's just amazing. He'll catch a guy in mid-flight and when he's coming down and boom.
But look at Evan Bourne alone. The shooting star press into the RKO.
I mean, to see when Evan Bourne and he with that move that he was doing and to see Andy get up and catch him in mid-flight and I mean, wow. And it's just incredible. And then like DDP, he can pretty much hit it from anywhere's. You don't even have to. You turn around and boom, you'll get nailed with it. The way that he perfected it is, doesn't matter where you're coming from, he'll nail you if you're not paying attention. And then Stone Cold, well, basically the kick to the gut in it, but if you're not paying attention to, boom, you're out.
I'd agree with that 100%. That RKO, Diamond Cutter, any way you want to do it, it's effective because it's driving somebody's face directly into your shoulder or directly into the mat. It's a knockout. It's simple as that. And I think the first time I ever saw Randy do the RKO out of nowhere was back like 2003 or 2000. I think it was Rob Van Dam and Armageddon. He came off, bounced off the rope to Randy Orton. RKO out of nowhere. Long before the out of nowhere came to be popular. And then I think he would do it again with Carlito. And then it would build more and more as his career went on. You get more guys doing those flying moves and he could get the RKO out of nowhere. But very effective to me. So, Brian, your number six?
My number six is the Phoenix Star / Five Star Splash. Well, I guess they're both kind of different, but I just love the moves that, like, those two versions, because, see, the way that they're done is amazing. Especially the five-star splash when Eddie Guerrero was doing it was amazing, and same with Rob Van Dam, and then the Phoenix Splash, which I've only seen a few people do, but, I mean, Seth Rollins did it last year. I was really impressed just to see that move, and, I mean, they're two devastating moves from that are well different but effective in each way.
Oh, for sure. Great moves, high flying, awesome. My number six, I'm going with the Burning Hammer by Kenta Kobashi. That, to me, one of the most devastating moves in wrestling history.
Well, that is actually my number four, so.
Yeah, so to me, devastating move. You got him up on your shoulders like an FU, but in the flip where his back is on your shoulders. And then the way Kenta Kobashi did it was you pretty much dropped a guy on his head. Like, I watched so many videos when I put this list together, and just watching him drop a guy on his head, drop a guy on his head, drop a guy on his head. It's a brutal, brutal move.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we seen some of the local indie guys do it too, like Sheik Akbar Shabazz.
But the way he does more, he does it with the saber style. He flips the guy over almost completely, kind of like an inverted FU is more what his Burning Hammer is.
But I mean, both ways are effective, no matter which way you do it. And you get hit with that, you're pretty much not getting up. It's like a three count for your opponent there.
Oh, and just if you have never seen the Burning Hammer, please go back on YouTube and look up Kenta Kobashi Burning Hammer. And if you can watch, there's a video online that says Kenta Kobashi Burning Hammer debut. It's the first time he ever hit it in a wrestling match. God, it looks like he broke the guy's neck the way he dropped him. It just looks completely brutal. You got to check out that move if you have never seen it. So, Brian, you're number five.
Now, my number five is Chris Jericho's Cold Breaker. That move is friggin' incredible because you get dropped down into the knees by to the chin, and it's like it's devastating to see it. The way he does it, it's so quick, and he can get it off without you knowing, and it's just like, wow, it's awesome to see.
Yeah, it's an very effective. It's a very effective move. It's you got to think it's a killer. So my number five, or your number six, right? Or you just went off your number five?
Well, my number, I changed my number five. It was, well, the rear naked chokehold, but actually, yeah, I can.
So my, we'll move on to my number five then. Curb stomp, Seth Rollins, now banned, which I find completely stupid. Because if you actually watch a guy do the move, it's safe. But it looks like it just crushes a guy. I think it was an effective move. If a guy was starting to get up, you can hit it on pretty much anyone. As long as they were knocked down, you could hit the curb stomp on anybody. It was effective on a small guy, big guy, didn't matter. Curb stomp was a curb stomp. It's going to crush your face. And guys, you can take that safely. It's not like it's a move that you can't take safely, which surprises me why WWE would ban it. But I think one of the most effective finishers WWE's ever seen, and the fact that he never got banned, and now the NXT, Best of NXT DVD is coming out. They actually edited out Rollins' curb stomp, which won him his NXT championship. They actually edited it out, which to me was absolutely just ridiculous.
Oh, for sure. I don't see why it was banned, because it's nothing really happens to it. You're just getting your head shoved down into the ground onto the mat. But I can kind of see a way though too, because if you do it hard enough, you can injure the guy or give him a serious concussion too at the same time. But you know, who knows? But it is a devastating move to see.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to your number four, and I think it already came up once. It's the burning hammer. So
yeah,
for you, what makes this burning hammer so effective?
Well, just the way that it's applied and how effective it is. If you get hit with it, it's pretty much a lights out move. The two different versions that can, the way that they can be applied to. I mean, it's two different ways to do it, but they're both effective. And you get hit anyways with them, you're pretty much done. You're not getting up.
Oh, for sure. It's, like I said, you drop a guy on his head, it looks like he broke his neck. It's simple as that. My number four, Sweet Chin Music or the Super Kick. It's another move you can hit completely out of nowhere. But today, I love the way Shawn Michaels would set it up back in when he was using it as a finisher. You put the guy down, then you get in the corner, and you have the theatrics with it, tuning up the band. Except, but nowadays, it's become just another move in wrestling, because I say more because the Young Bucks have kind of killed this move. Do you agree on that one?
Oh, for sure. And there's a lot of people that are now using the super kick, or like different versions of it, but so many wrestlers use it, and it's not good to watch anymore, because I loved it when Shawn Michaels was doing it, because he could nail it good. And then, well, then the Young Bucks come along and pretty much they just been destroying it. And
the problem I have with the super kick now is that some of these guys are super kicking like 10, they're throwing like 10 to 12 super kicks in one match.
Yeah.
To me, that, I know people love to scream super kick now every time somebody throws a super kick. But to me, I think that ruins the super kick. And the fact that you got a guy throwing it 12 times a match, it just, to me, loses effectiveness every time you hit it.
Well, for sure. And it's like a deadly move, too. I mean, but like you said, though, it's like too many people are doing it. Some too many times in a match. Once you see it once, it's good enough. But if you see it three or four times in a match, you just don't want to see it no more.
Oh.
And besides, there's so many people that are now using it. It's just insane. So,
yeah. So we're going to move on to number three. Brian, your number three finisher in wrestling.
F5 by Brock Lesnar. That move is, wow, you get hit with that. And the way that he can do it, though, too, is just amazing. He can catch you coming off the top rope or pretty much from anywhere, and you get hit with that, it's most of the time it's guaranteed lights out. You will not get up from it. And Brock, you know, he's one big boy, and you get hit with that, I don't want to be in your shoes.
I think it's more, if you gave it to a guy who was smaller, I don't think it would be as effective. People wouldn't believe the effectiveness as much. But I think because of who Brock Lesnar is. He's the beast incarnate, and he's such a big guy. I think, because if you actually break down the F5, it's a fireman's carry into essentially dropping a guy into a front bump.
Yeah.
But just the way he does the F5 makes it look like he's ripping the guy, like just destroying a guy, just crushing him into the mat. Like, I wouldn't believe it if it was anybody else doing that move, but because it's Brock Lesnar hitting an F5, like, I'll say this. When Kevin Steen used to use the F-Sank when he was in ROH, back in the indies, I kind of just kind of scoffed at it. Like, why are you hitting this move? It just doesn't work for a guy your size. But when you get a guy who's a beast like Brock Lesnar hitting an F5, it looks completely devastating.
Oh, for sure. And like I said, Brock's a big boy, and then the way that he does it and you get hit by it, it's lights out.
All right, so we're going to go to my number three, and this move came up at Lauren Bryan's list. It's my number three. It's the RKO. It's like we said before, it's an effective move, can be hit out of nowhere, crushes a guy's face in the mat, whatever variation you're talking about, stunner style, DDP style, homicide, ace crusher style, doesn't matter. It's a devastating move that can be used on anyone, anywhere, any size, doesn't matter. That to me is a huge thing. Any guy, any move, any size, simple as that.
Oh, for sure. And the move is deadly to see, and like I said earlier, it can be hit pretty much with like any version of it can be hit from anywhere. So yeah.
All right. So Brian, you're number two.
Flying elbow drop. I thought the best one was when Randy Savage's, because the way that he
did it,
the way that he did it, man, he would nail you dead center in the chest area, and pretty much if he hit you with that, you will not get up. There have been some really good tributes to it, especially CM Punk. I loved CM Punk's version too, because his was awesome too for it. The way he was doing it too, like it was almost seeing Macho Man again flying off the ropes when he was doing it. I mean, that move, like I said, it you get nailed right in the chest area, the heart area, you're gonna get pinned for the three count.
Yeah, it's a beautiful move, and I always loved seeing Randy Savage is before my day. But I always loved going back, watching Randy Savage come off the top, hit that flying elbow drop. It always looked so perfect and so effective from a guy like him. Like a guy, and especially, he's not a small dude either. So when you have a bigger guy who like him coming off the top, smashing an elbow into you, you believe that that move could end a match.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
So we're going to go to my number two, and this is the move Scott Justice has used in the past, but has been made famous by the man who can have a match anywhere, Mr. Kenny Omega, and that's the One Winged Angel. Now this is a move. It's an electric chair. He set up. It's a very big setup move, but I find it so effective the way he finished it, it dries it down. You get a guy up, set him up in an electric chair, then you lift one arm off, one leg off the shoulder, and you grab the head. And then you step forward, spinning him down and driving him down onto his head and neck and upper back area. I find it's just so devastating. I'm so glad I've gotten to see Kenny Omega do this match live. The funniest thing I ever thought was the month before, Scott Justice had picked it up as his finisher, literally in the match, to find out who would face Kenny Omega. He used the One Winged Angel to win the match, and then he faces Kenny Omega the next month in Edmonton and gets hit by the One Winged Angel. I thought Scott Justice is just, and he's still using it to this day, and I love the way Scott hits it, love the way Kenny hits it. I think it's just a beautiful move, but you got to know what you're doing to hit it or you're going to really hurt a guy.
Oh, for sure. It's a deadly move, and like I said, Scott Justice doing it and Kenny Omega, it's a beautiful move to see.
Definitely. So, we're coming to our number one finisher, and I think we both have put this at the top of our list. It's been made famous by a great Canadian. Do you agree?
I do agree.
And TNA is where this move originated. Brian, why don't you tell us what the move is?
The Canadian Destroyer by Petey Williams. My God, that move is so devastating and so quick. The first time I seen it, I had to keep rewinding the tape and going slow motion just to see how effective it was, because it's so devastating just to watch. And the way that he gets him up, flips him, and boom, right down to the, like, it's a devastating move. I can't explain how it would feel or whatnot, but I mean, the way that he flips it, does a flip to do it, it's amazing. And the first time I seen it, I was like, holy fuck of shit, what the hell did I just see?
Yeah, to me, it's an effective move, and it's a move you really gotta put your trust in the guy who's hitting it. I think I've only seen it once live, and it was at a Force Pro Wrestling show with Richie Rage. I think he was working at Mr. Fantastic back then. He hit the Canadian Destroyer. All right, maybe it wasn't there, but I've seen Richie hit a Canadian Destroyer. Oh, no, Onaway. That's where I saw it. Richie hit a Canadian Destroyer in Onaway last year. I don't know why I'm thinking about it all the way back to Force, but to me, that move is just absolutely... You've got to put full trust in the guy that's hitting it, not to break your neck. Because if anything goes even slightly wrong, you're going to end up like Stone Cold or worse. Yeah, you're going to break your neck. It's simple as that. And the fact is, like, it's such everything. And really, any pile driver version, not even just the Canadian Destroyer, but any version of the pile driver, it is absolutely devastating because you're dropping on your head. I love Jerry Lynn's version of the pile driver, the cradle pile driver, where you grab your cradle by the legs and you just drive them down. And then, the Meltzer driver now that the Young Bucks are using. I really like their movements. It was originally called like the Indie Taker, and now it's called the Meltzer driver. When they set them up in the Tombstone style, and the other guy comes, does a 450 off the top to help and grabs the guy and helps drive him down. Very effective. Like any version of the pile driver today is so crazy. But the best, I think, the best version to watch happen is the Canadian Destroyer, because it's just so cool to see how it's hit.
Oh, for sure. And like I said, if you got it on DVD or videotape, and just pause it and go in slow motion and watch how it is done, and that it is so effective and just amazing to see it. But if you don't do that and you see it in real time, it's like, if you blink, it's over, because it's so fast and devastating.
It's so true. It's just so effective, so brutal, and it can happen. The thing is, it's hard to do against everybody. It's a move you need an athletic guy to be taking, because both men have to do the full flip to do it, right?
Yeah.
So, but it's so effective, so brutal. But it's an X Division finisher, is really what it is.
Oh, for sure it is. And if you get hit with it, you're pretty much done with it. It's a devastating move, and if your opponent is not prepared for right, he can get injured very seriously. So I mean, you got to be careful with who you're working with to do it with, and it's a devastating move, period.
Yeah, so that's our favorite finishers in wrestling. So I want to hear from all of you. You can contact me at that Canada guy on Twitter, or that's THATCANADAGUY at that Canada guy on Twitter, or you can email the show at wrestling. You can send it into wrestlingclaritypodcast@gmail.com. I will, or you can drop your top 10 favorite finishers, or even just your favorite finisher, on our Facebook page, and you can check us out on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network on Facebook. Please check it out. And up next will be the upcoming events.
The upcoming events are sponsored by the Edmonton SPN Merchandise Shop. Stop by EdmontonSPNShop.ca, where we have a lot of great DVDs available for sale. Our newest addition to the DVD lineup is the Monster Pro Wrestling Eliminator Show from this past February in Edmonton, Alberta, with the main event being a six-way elimination match for the Monster Pro Wrestling Provincial Championship. All this and a lot more available at EdmontonSPNShop.ca.
So as Jingle said, this is the upcoming events. So on March 18th, RCW presents Gold Rush from the Springbrook Multiplex in Springbrook, Alberta. Doors are at 7, show at 7:45, and it does feature WWE alumni Kizarni, better known as Sin Bodhi, makes his return to RCW. And then on March 19th, RCW presents Full Throttle at the Evansdale Community League in Edmonton, Alberta. Featuring former WWE star Kizarni, better known as Sin Bodhi. Doors are at 7, show at 7:45. Do not want to miss it. RCW always puts on a hell of a show. And then March 26th, ladies and gentlemen, it's a show I was hyping last week with the Marky podcast. It's the PWA 15th anniversary show. It's at the Nate Gymnasium, ladies and gentlemen. PWA's returned to Nate after, I don't know, I think the last time they were at Nate was the Dudley Boys show. Dudley Boys show.
2007.
No, 2008 was when they left.
2008, okay.
But then they came back for the Dudley Boys show.
Yeah.
Don't forget about that. That was a couple years later.
Yeah.
So you got the. So that, I think that was
2010, yeah.
2010, I think, was the last time they were at Nate. So this is the return home for the PWA. This is where they had a heck of a lot of their shows. So, and that show featuring the semi-main event of Jay Lethal defending his ROH championship against WWE legend Lance Storm. You don't want to miss that. Also, you've got Team Great Gamma Singh versus Team Champagne Jerry Morrow. I'm absolutely ecstatic to see that match. You don't want to miss it, but I won't be there. But the rest of the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network guys will be there. All the rest of the Front Mafia will be in attendance at that show in the front row, too, as always. And you do not want to miss that, because in the main event of the night, as I hyped it up with Marky last week, it is the PWA original Marky going after the one title he's never been able to win in the PWA, and that is he's going up against Mephisto, the current PWA heavyweight champion. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be one hell of a match, because Marky, as he said on the podcast, please go back and listen, because you're going to hear about his entire career, and you're going to hear him talk about what it feels like to be going into this match. He's going to pull out everything he can. He's either going to walk out the champion, or he's going to die trying. I know Marky. He is that kind of guy. So you do not want to miss that show. So, but I will be in Montreal on March 26th at IWS Blood, Sweat, and Beers, featuring former RCW wrestler Evan Adams, and former PWA wrestler too. Evan Adams will be there wrestling Sexy Eddie, along with a lot more stuff on that show. You do not want to miss it, ladies and gentlemen. I will be there. If you are in the Montreal area, please come out. You just got to contact me on Facebook. I'll send you all the info you need to go to the show. If you are in Montreal on March 26th, please come out to that show. Come join me. It's going to be one heck of a show. And then the following weekend, April 2nd, Monster Pro Wrestling at the... They're back at the Alberta Avenue Community Hall after a double booking and a cancellation last month. They're back, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to be there to kill it, show you everything that they're going to show you in the month before, but everybody's so much more wanting to wrestle now. And that is at the Alberta Avenue Community Hall in Edmonton, Alberta. Doors at 6:30, show at 7:30. Don't want to miss it. Kato will be there with his brand new provincial championship. It's going to be Crazy Core versus the Irishman. You don't want to miss that. And then I will still be in Montreal at that point, and I will be going to NCW Evolution in Montreal. Yeah, it's going to be a heck of a night. You don't want to miss it, ladies and gentlemen. If you are in Montreal, please come join me. Again, if you need the info, message me on Facebook, Andre Como. Just look me up. I will accept your friend request. If you're in Montreal, please, or in the surrounding area, Come check it out. It's a good show. I was there last year. So that is the upcoming events. Brian, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show with me this week and talking finishers with me. And we're about to hit the finisher on this podcast, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And it was a pleasure. I always look forward to doing it and can't wait to do the next one.
Thank you, Brian, for joining me. And ladies and gentlemen, as I always say, please support indie wrestling wherever you are. You can contact me on Facebook. I am Andre Como. You can contact me on Twitter, at That Canada Guy. You can contact me by email at WrestlingClarityPodcast@gmail.com. You can get a hold of all of us on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network Facebook page. If you want to check out this show and all the other shows, all our back catalog, go to EdmontonSPN.podbean.com and check out all our shows. And also, we also have, do have our YouTube page up now, so please check us out, Edmonton Sports Podcast Network on YouTube. There are plenty of free streams that we do. We stream out a bunch of Monster Pro Wrestling shows, a bunch of RCW shows. You don't want to miss those. It's always a great time to check those out, ladies and gentlemen. So please, please, please support indie wrestling podcasts wherever you are. And please go to every show you can. And please support indie wrestling wherever you are. My name is Andre C. Thank you very much.
This has been Wrestling Clarity on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. For more details on the network, check them out on YouTube, iTunes, Facebook, WordPress, or check out EdmontonSPN.podbean.com.